Hey guys, thanks for joining us for this 94th episode in Season 2 of Good Questions with Cameron Dole. Special guests on this episode include Alfonso Ribeiro, got the new special series America's Funniest Home Videos Animal Edition, which is premiering tonight on Nat Geo. We'll also visit with country artist South 62. We'll talk about their single, Talk of the Town, and much more. If you would, please take the time to subscribe, comment, leave some feedback, check out the shop, and share with your friends. Would like to say thanks to our good friends Smiley's Breezy Vapes at 313 Falcon Road for helping sponsor today's podcast. Check out their Red Basket specials, and of course, if you have any questions, you can always call or text 580-471-VAPE. That's 580-471-8273. Now it is Friday, and we come up with some tips from a lifestyle expert on how to have a great weekend. Number 1. Avoid work email and social media. Number 2. Spend time with family and friends. Number 3. Go outside. Number 4. Exercise. Number 5. Enjoy good food or drinks. And number 6. Do something you love to do. So there you go. Those are all of the tips to having a great weekend. Always great to have our friends back on. Got a special series with Nat Geo that is going to premiere tonight. Alfonso Ribeiro on the line with us. And first off, Alfonso, thank you so much for your time.
Thank you for having me. Yes, absolutely. It's always an honor to come and chat with you guys. And let's tell everybody about the new show.
How crazy is it how America's Funniest Videos, home videos, I should say, has grown, and an animal edition that is going to premiere tonight on Nat Geo? And how cool is that, Alfonso, just seeing the brand grow a bit?
You know, it's really nice. I mean, I've watched, obviously, America's Funniest Home Videos for decades now, and really love the show, and honored to be able to have taken over as host of this, but to expand this and get a little bit more specific. You know, the beauty of cable television is that you can kind of break down and go specific a little bit more. And Nat Geo decided to pick this one up and go with it. And I think it was a great marriage. The animal edition is becoming my favorite edition of the show. It really is funny. It's the animals are incredibly funny the way we're putting them together. Because there's no talking with the animals, I have to kind of narrate the show a bit more and kind of keep everything kind of flowing, and so it becomes like a really long monologue with incredible videos to support it. Really, really funny. The animal, these videos are great. I mean, we've had obviously videos for decades now, and with everyone having a phone in their hand with a video camera, It's we're getting a lot of videos, so the videos have been fantastic, very, very funny, and we're learning a little something. Obviously, being with Nat Geo, we don't want to just do silly comedy without any information. But yeah, we're doing a little bit of information, and we're learning a little bit every week about each animal, about certain animals, and which makes it kind of cool to me.
Now, Alfonso, you've been doing the show for a few years now, and how has the number of videos gone over the last year? Has the influx been ridiculous over the last year?
It's been way more than normal. Because of everybody's kind of sitting at home, especially early in the pandemic, everybody just needed stuff to do, and all they were doing was getting their videos out and shooting. And sending us all these videos here. We went up big time, but it's wonderful that we get to continue to do this, really, at the end of the day. We get to continue to make people laugh, and that's really all I care about, is how can we brighten someone's day, once a week, and give them a little something, to go into the next week and have fun with. This animal edition on Nat Geo is kind of a lot of the same, where we're going to make people smile and laugh, and who doesn't love good, funny animal videos?
Now, Alfonso, how long did it take before you felt like you were the host of the show rather than just being a side partner of America's Funniest Home Videos?
You know, I would probably say about 2 years. 2 years is when I, after the second year, I was like, okay, I'm starting to feel like this is me now. We very specifically made sure we didn't change the tone of the show quickly. We wanted to make sure that everything stays kind of the way that people felt it and saw it with Tom Bergeron. And so, you know, obviously our rhythms are a bit different, but after about two seasons, we slowly transitioned the show into being, you know, really close to, you know, what works for me and easier for me. And I think that transition, doing it slow, allowed the audience to kind of, you know, feel at home but still not feel like it's a jolt to their system. So I think it was smart the way the producers and I, you know, decided to present me.
And again, the Nat Geo presentation, a special series coming up this evening, America's Funniest Home Videos, Animal Edition. And Alfonso, always want to make sure and let our listeners know where to keep up with more information about the special series and then everything else you got going as well, brother.
Well, obviously, you know, we start tonight, you know, three episodes tonight on Nat Geo, starting at 5 p.m., well, 8 p.m. Eastern. And so, you know, you can check it out there. Obviously, you can see me on my socials, the real Alfonso Rivero on Instagram, Alfonso _ Rivero on Twitter, and Alfonso Rivero on Facebook, and Alfonso Rivero on Twitter, at TikTok. So all the places, just put in my name, you'll find me, and you'll find out all that's going on.
That's right. Now, Alfonso, as being of the same generation as you are, I mean, how long did it take you to adjust to being on TikTok as well?
It always takes me a minute to get used to the whole social media stuff. You know, I'm not that dude, but you know, maybe I'm getting up in my age where, you know, some of these things are whatever. You know, they're for other people, but I recognize that, you know, for me, ultimately, it's always been about, you know, trying to give the audience a little bit of who I am, a little bit of love, and you know, if you can make people happy in any way, you do that. I do these cameos now where it's, for me, it's really all about, you know, trying to make people smile and make people happy. So, you know, that once I looked at it that way, it was made it a lot easier for me to put myself out there on the social channels.
That's right. Well, Alfonso, it's always great to visit with you, brother. I appreciate you taking some time. Look forward to the new series and hopefully catching up again real soon.
Absolutely. Thank you so much, buddy.
Well, thanks again to our sponsor for the podcast, Smiley's Breezy Vapes, 313 Falcon Row here in Altus, where they've got the largest selection of disposable flavors in Southwest Oklahoma. They've always got red basket specials, and if you ever have a question, you can call or text 580-471-VAPE. That's 580-471-8273. Now, Amy Schumer was trending yesterday for a strange reason that, well, just got stranger. A truck stop in Tennessee posted a picture of a driver named Amelia, who's redeemed a brand new Monster Energy mini fridge with her loyalty points. The woman looked quite a bit like Amy, right down to her R-rated t-shirt that read Truckin' and, well, something that rhymes with truckin'. Now, when Amy saw the picture, she tweeted, quote, "Wait, what's going on at a truck stop? Me." She also posted an emoji with a single tear because Amelia, as it turns out, has a teardrop tattoo. Now, sometimes people get a teardrop tattoo of a way of saying that they've killed someone, so the truck stop posted a follow-up to clarify. It said, quote, "Amelia wanted us to point out that her teardrop tattoo is not because she murdered someone. She accidentally killed a pedestrian once after falling asleep at the wheel and got a tattoo to honor their memory."
I did want to ask him any questions before we got started because I didn't want to ruin the conversation. So South 62 on with us today, and I'm going to let each of you do the introduction or let you introduce however you want to do. First off, thank you guys for taking the time.
Hey, thank you. We're you know, very excited to be here. We are South 62. I am Jeff Lewis. I am the lead singer.
Rich Alcorn. I play the guitar.
I'm Darren. I am the drummer for the band.
I'm Brad. I'm the bassist.
I'm Anthony. I'm the keyboardist.
I'm Tom. I play the mandolin and the dobro.
All right.
Right. Now, when did you guys first connect? I mean, how have you guys just been like a garage band, or did you guys get put together? How did you guys connect in the first place?
All of us at some point in time have played with one another over the years, and myself, Rich, and Anthony, we ended up on the Mike Huckabee Show, and we at that moment we were on that show without any other musicians except us. We were like, hey, we better get a band together. so we kind of the pieces just fell together for us as was needed, you know, when we ended up, you know, with just this cool gelling group we have today.
Now, you guys seem like a pretty uptight group of guys. I mean, who's the I just want to know who the instigator is. I have an idea. It's Darren, but I'm just, who's the instigator?
You were looking right at me, weren't you?
I really was.
I'll own up to that. Could be me. Could very well be me.
Now, tell us, where did the first influence for music come from, you guys? I'll let you go first, and each of you talk about who your musical influence is.
Oh, geez. Myself, I have a ton. I grew up around, you know, my dad was a country music guitar player. I mean, that was his whole life. And so I grew up listening to, you know, George Jones and George Strait and, you know, geez, Ricky Skaggs and, you know, geez, Highway 101, you name it. We, you know, that's what I grew up on. And I was never in band in school. I never did any of that. And I didn't even know I could sing. I'm still kind of confused how people think that I could sing, but I didn't even know I could get up on a stage and do it till I was 18. And, you know, after that, you know, the Garth Brooks era came, and, you know, I was actually listening to, you know, and I think every country kid goes through that. Your parents are always listening to country music. And when you hit about 15, 16, the Guns N' Roses, Metallica, AC/DC, you know, sweetens the pot for you. So but then, you know, I was 17, probably Garth Brooks hit. And then it was Dwight Yoakam and Garth Brooks and Alan Jackson and Marty Stewart for me from then on. So that, like 2 years. Yeah. Only about, yeah. 3 years.
Darren, what about you?
Well, I'm a little bit different than Jeff, so I didn't have parents that listened to contemporary music of any kind, right? And I had no older brothers, sisters. So my mom is a classical musician, and that's all I was exposed to really young until the 80s hit. Then it was like 1980, Van Halen, you know, all the I discovered Asia and Yes, and I read Genesis. I really started liking that progressive music, and I had to go back in time to discover classic music because I had no exposure to it. So, but once I discovered the progressive musicians, that's where it was. Those are my influences, you know, Rod Morgenstein and, you know, Carl Palmer, some, you know, Neil Peart, of course, one of my big time favorites. So yeah, that's where I spent most of my time, is in the progressive and just, you know, rock vein. So, and that's actually kind of Anthony and I and Rich too. We did some projects together, you know, we just kind of gel in that way, similar influences. So Anthony, you wanted to have this mic next?
All right. He said back to somebody else.
Okay, I suppose it all started for me. I'm playing bass. I was at a carnival when I was probably about 11 years old, you know, a home twerking, of course. And I was the main show. And, but anyway, I was at this carnival when I was like 11 years old, and I heard Stomp by the Brothers Johnson, and being a bass player, I loved the funky, solo he had in there. And that's kind of what, you know, perked the interest, initially. And ever since then, I've always been into some good jazz bass and Rush, of course. Love to play Rush. That's about it. That's kind of what I've done. A lot of just rock and roll and funk is what I've done. So country's a bit of a twist for me, but it's fun. We're having a great time.
I've been around country music all my life since I was able to have a memory. I was around country music. My uncles all played bluegrass. My grandparents had it on in the house all the time. So did my parents. But after a while, just watching my uncles play, I knew I wanted to do that. And I knew more than that, I wanted to write music. So I just started playing guitar about right around 10 or 11 and was in a bluegrass band. The first thing I got into was bluegrass band. And then Ozzy Osbourne was playing on the radio, and it kind of changed things for me a little bit. So I went down, and like Darren said, I kind of went back. I heard him, and then I went back and listened to Black Sabbath and got into Deep Purple and all the 70s hard rock bands and Nazareth and Zeppelin and all that, which some of them had a country feel to them, some of their songs. So it was really cool. But I've kind of come full circle. I've been playing with Jeff for quite a while and discovered I kind of had a knack for writing country music. So I just been doing that for a while now and not looking back now.
It's me. Well, my story isn't that much different. It started with my folks. My dad loved country music, and I had three uncles and an aunt that played either country or bluegrass, guitars, fiddles, banjos. So I've been around that my whole life, and I always thought they were cool. They'd bring their instruments over to the house for holidays and parties, and it's just really cool to watch them get up and perform. And I always wanted to do it. Got in the high school band, like these guys too. I started listening to Ozzy and Sabbath, and I didn't get to country music until later in life. And then a bunch of bluegrass bands I've been in. Since the bluegrass, I haven't gone back like some of you guys.
Bluegrass did something to you that it didn't do to you.
So. To me, it's sacred. I can't go back to Ozzy after that.
It's amazing. I mean, who thinks whenever you come into a country music interview Zoom session that Ozzy is going to be the predominant influence on that?
It's kind of common here.
Yes, I grew up listening to Ozzy too. Seen him live. I grew up in a big home of, I was the youngest of six. So I had a vast variety of music going on in my house, Beatles, Rainbow, Deep Purple. And of course 80s rock and stuff like that. So I kind of had a big spectrum, wide spectrum of, I was basically anything from Enya to Pink Floyd to Dream Theater was my selection. So I I got into recording, and so that even got even a broader sense of different genres to listen to. So ended up with this. So it's been a ride for us. We have a unique feel between all the guys in our playing, our sound. Jeff puts it all together with the voice, and Tom and his auxiliary instruments. It just makes kind of a cool sound for us. We really enjoy it. So, but yeah, that's our life.
Now, how much do you attribute all of the different genres being of love in your lives melding together to the sound that you guys have now?
Oh, geez. I think all of it in a whole.
Yeah, but, it comes from.
Yeah. For the record though, I was not allowed to listen to Ozzy growing up because my mother thought he was the devil, just like the water boy.
And in country music, you are not the exception. Yeah, there's a lot of parents that were probably under that same. My household, same way. Yeah, there was no Ozzy.
Oh, yeah. Ozzy, so.
Now, tell us how this whole setup came. Was this a COVID setup studio? Was that what the studio you guys are in? Or is this something that you guys already had before that even took place?
No, it is. This is my new studio here. My last studio is where we did the album. I finished mastering that album. Well, it's not even out, to be honest, because we put the brakes on it. I think it was March 12th. And then COVID hit literally within days. So we're like, okay, we don't know what's going on. So we stopped. And, this past year, I built this new one. And this is our basically our home and all future projects we'll do here. But yeah, we're still kind of waiting. You know, we put out the releases of, you know, Talk of the Town. We have Eagles Wings coming out, what, July 2nd. And then after that, we'll have another radio streaming release. So, but yeah, we took advantage of the time for sure being off. So yeah, here we are. And the, oh yeah, we did all the videos while we were in, we did 5 music videos. And thanks to our buddy Lance doing our video right now. He's our guy. So yeah, we took advantage of the time.
Heck yeah.
Now, how much different is the live stream performances and how much of a learning curve was there on those to play into no smiley faces, no emojis or anything?
It's a huge difference.
That's a learning curve.
It's hard to, you know, you're used to the fans feeding you and your crowd feeding you and, you know.
We don't have a front of house guy either.
No, so.
Down, you know, we're trying to. Yeah, we all have our own mixes, so.
Yeah. Besides Anthony doing hair flips and Brad twerking, that's all I have to rev me up when I'm singing.
Yeah. Now, what's it like to have a single out right now, and what's the feedback been like so far from Talk of the Town?
Well, so far, it's been, I mean, we are utterly blown away. You know, we started on the Music Row chart at 240. And then, you know, I've said this every time, but we were like, all right, if we break 200, that'll be so cool. And then we broke 200, and then we went from 240 to 110 in 4 days. And we were like, holy cow, we might break 100. And now we're at 86, and we're going, man, we might really mark. There's a shot. I mean, this is a dream come true for every single one of us, you know, and it's still, we all have the pinch me moments because it's just, man, we're having a blast. This has been the time of our lives so far. It's been awesome.
That's awesome. Well, we've talked about the sound, and I know that you promised to play a couple for us. I want to let you guys just take over the mic and play a couple for us if you're still willing.
Oh, yeah. Heck yeah. All right, very cool. We'll get rolling. All right, baby.
You guys ready?
I'm ready.
Do it up.
I'm clicked in. My ears are working.
Song about the old days.
When life didn't get in the way, ooh, the memories flow like a river running out of control. Was letting down the hills, running through the woods, the sun up until it's gone. Was getting all night at Skinner's Pond as the music played on and on and on and on. Those days lasted Take them home, Bridget. Well, I'm fine. Yeah, Back in the Day, that is the title track to our new album, self-titled Back in the Day. What are we going to do next for them, fellas? I'm Still Here?
Yeah, let's do that.
All right, this will be our next radio release. This song here, we're thinking it's pretty special. This is a song written by my little buddy Richie Elkhorn. Still here, you're still gone, left me behind to try and find the strength to carry on. This old heart's shaken as ground to stand upon. I'm still here, you're still gone. I'm still here, I'm all right, but the fact remains that I can't seem to make through the night. If you don't show, I'm gonna go and prove my friends are. I'm still here, you're still gone. And I live among the memories that linger in this town, but I just can't go, 'cause you should know just where I can be found. Still here, you're still gone. Yep. Still here, and you're still gone.
Very cool. Very cool.
Technical.
Next one we're going to play, man, this is our debut single. This is number 86 on the Music Row charts. Little.
Soon to be 85 and a half.
Yeah, we're hoping. We're hoping we keep climbing. That'll be very cool. I got to let Anthony get to the mandolin. Oh, no, we're not. We're doing right. Talk of the Town. See, I'm losing my place. I thought that's what you were running for. What happens, Cameron, is when you play 4, 5, 6, 7 days in a row, your brain starts to gel everything together. It is Friday, right? All right, it's Friday. All right, so you ready, bro? All right, here we are. Talk the Town.
You never thought it would ever get this far. I thought you had a hand in it, did you know? They'd catch you with your pants down low. And the things you did, you thought were here. Well, now somebody found you, yeah, there ain't no way around it. You're the talk of the town, everybody's been saying, are you really gonna dumb it this time? Hanging all your dirty laundry out on the line. The story is. You had fun, now it's time to pay for the ride. Reputation is hard to earn, but even harder when the bridge is burned. And it's plain to see your history's coming back to haunt you every door. But I'm glad for you. It's all over the town, everybody's been saying, are you really gonna do it this time? Hanging all your dirty laundry out on the line. The story is. Until then, you'll be the talk of the town. Whenever life throws you a problem, yeah, everybody makes their concern. But in small, small towns like this, you know everybody's gonna get their turn.
Everybody's talking about you, baby.
That's good stuff, guys.
Very cool. Thank you.
How long have you guys been able to get together and practice throughout the entire last year? Or was there some time that you had to do to keep up via remote?
We got together and we shot music videos. That's what we spent most of every weekend out at a different location shooting music videos, just trying to pass the time.
And then we started rehearsing farther into the winter and stuff.
Yeah.
So it was in mid-March. Yeah. April, maybe.
Yeah, it's been tough. We've been cramming. You know, 4 or 5 days a week, we've been in the studio. we're just cramming, trying to get caught back up.
Yeah. Now, what was it like the first time to get back out and play a live show in front of actual live audience members?
We'll let you know June 27th.
Still, yeah.
we have, where we're at, we're the, like Tom and I are on the edge of New York. These fellows are all in Pennsylvania. So we are just getting our restrictions lifted. Gotcha. I mean, we weren't allowed live music out. We weren't allowed anything, you know? And so Rich, Tom and myself, we were like, heck with it. There was a rule that you could have, as long as you only had 3 players, it wasn't technically a band. So we started rehearsing. We were like, heck with it. We're going to go out. We'll just play at some diners and stuff. And then they started easing up the restrictions. And then we were able to get back together as a group and get rehearsing. And it's, we're just freed up now. So our first show will be June 27th in Franklin, PA.
Well,
that we're allowed back out at it.
How much have the butterflies already started looking forward to that? Or is it just the anticipation?
No, honestly, the butterflies for the shows, I don't normally get, but doing these podcasts and radio tour stuff, virtuals. Yeah, we got the camera in front of your face.
Hey, for radio guys, having that camera in their face is just as much, that's a bit much of a challenge on us as it is for you guys, I promise. Now, how has this last year, everything that's been going on around the world, inspiration-wise songwriting, has it been easier or harder to find the inspiration this last year?
I'm going to pass it down to Rich.
Actually, I haven't written a ton of songs recently, but it has been easier. Just I've been sitting around listening to a lot of music and had time to just, you know, sit down and actually listen to things. And it's kind of inspired me. You know, I've written, I don't know, 4 or 5 songs since it all started, I guess. And some of them these guys have heard, some they haven't yet. But no, it's been kind of nice. I mean, I actually pretty much stayed working through the whole thing. But I had, we did do some shift work early on. So I was home a lot. Of course, my wife had me working on our house where I would have preferred to be in my music room, but I did get some time in there and I did get some writing done and it did, I don't know, something about I felt kind of, like I felt the solitude, I guess, of not being able to get together with these guys or anybody really. And it kind of stuff like that kind of inspires me a little bit, brings things out, you know? So yeah, it worked for me. You know, I was able to do stuff and it, whether it turned out good or not, I don't know yet. 'Cause these guys haven't heard it all. So we'll find that out sooner or later.
That's still up for consideration. Huh? Go ahead.
Sorry about that. I was just going to add, you know, being home for us, I think it gave us a good reflection on what's important in our lives, being with our family a lot, you know, and you know that what's really important, you strip all the sports and all the everything out of your life and you're like, this is important. And it was nice sitting down and kind of writing a little bit during that period of time. I was busy building this thing though. I wish I had time to sit, but it was a good time for reflecting and I don't know, kind of coming together as a family. You know, I thought so. I don't know about you guys, but
no, absolutely. Now that it's everything's opening back up, I have 3 sons and, you know, 3 daughters. They're 2 of them are gone. One of them's just 5, but my boys are back playing sports. So now we're back to where that we were planning dinner and, you know, you figured out now we're back to holy cow. We have 10 minutes. What do you know, what are we grabbing? You know, that part of it, I kind of missed that part of it about being shut down myself. It was nice sitting and chilling with my family and having a good dinner and talking, and now it's just a rat race again, trying to get to the ball games and the wrestling tournaments. And
that's right.
But now, I love them, and I'm thankful they're back.
Yeah. I know, right? Now, if folks want to keep up with the music, the upcoming singles, the tour dates, as those become available, and social media, where's the best place to keep up with South 62?
Social media, I mean, definitely Facebook, Instagram. We're tweeting now. And trust me, we had to learn all this stuff. It isn't like, you know, thank goodness for my children and their technological savvy, because their dad, I didn't know how to tweet. I didn't know how to do an Instagram. It was bad. It was bad. Yeah. Well, everything South 62, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. Our website is south62band.com. Yep. YouTube channel. They can check out the YouTube channel, and then, you know, all the streaming sites and services, you know, they're always welcome to jump on that, give us a follow, and, you know, and keep right up to date with us. What's going on?
All right. Well, guys, I appreciate you taking some time out of your schedule and setting up there in the studio. That's a beautiful setup for the podcast today. Anthony and you guys, thank you so much for taking the time. And hopefully, as things start building up a little bit more, we'll get to see you guys face to face one of these days real soon.
Yeah, heck yeah.
Thanks to our sponsor of today's podcast, Smiley's Breezy Vapes, located at 313 Falcon Road in Altus. You can check them out on Facebook or call 580-471-VAPE. They've always got the latest hardware plus the know-how to service after the sale. That's Smiley's Breezy Vapes. Give them a call, 580-471-VAPE. Now, 2020 was hard on everyone, but it seems like a lot of us are feeling a wad of cash burning a hole in our wallets. 45% of people in a recent survey said they plan to spend more money this year than the past two summers combined. And nearly half of people say that they've saved enough cash over the course of the pandemic to open their wallets guilt-free this summer. On the flip side, 40% are worried they may spend irresponsibly, and 72% said they're fine putting their summer fun on a credit card and paying it off down the road. Now, by the way, the number one thing people plan spending money on is vacations. Other popular picks include going out to eat, clothing, home upgrades, and hosting family and friends at home. Now, hoarding toilet paper did not make the list, despite its rampant popularity last year. Well, thanks again for joining us for this episode of Good Questions with Cameron Dole. If you ever have a comment, question, anything else you'd like to know, you can hit me up on the contact page at gqwithcam.com. You can also find me on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook, along with TikTok, all at gqwithcam. If you'd like to help out in the funding for this podcast, you can visit the merch store, where we've got hoodies, shirts, stickers, mugs, tumblers, and more. That's gqwithcam.com/shop. And if you have a special guest idea, email me, gqwithcam@gmail.com. Well, thanks again to our good friend Brandon Allen for coming up with our theme music. We're going to let him play us out and hope you guys have a great rest of your Friday.